Amen. I'm excited about teaching today for just a few moments. This is such a special season, and I really do. I love to preach the Christmas season. I love to preach my way through every year. I get to Christmas and I say, all right, how am I going to present the Christmas story? How am I going to pick aspects of this story and preach it fresh? I love to teach and to talk through so many of these incredible truths. And this is a special season. And I know all of us are too busy, and we've got sickness going around, and there are people that are home miserable, feeling yuck. It just seems to be that time of year. But I want to remind us today, I want to remind us to slow down and to breathe it in and to enjoy the season, not to get so hectic, not to get so busy, not to get so overwhelmed or stressed out that we miss the beauty of this season. As I already announced a moment ago, our Christmas service is happening next Sunday, December 22nd. It's a wonderful, wonderful time to just come and celebrate the season and to celebrate with your church family. So I want you to be a part of that and enjoy our kids and just have a great, great time. And of course, today is a special day, and we're going to do something special today. We're going to give to our church for Christmas, and we'll do that in a little while. But what makes it so special is that all of us can be a part of it. But when I think of the Christmas story, I mean, the timeline, it varies for many people. You hear people telling the Christmas story, and usually for the sake of brevity, usually for the sake of just kind of hitting the highlights, we seem to marry a lot of the details and throw them all in together. For instance, just about any nativity scene that you see is going to be in a stable with a manger, and there are going to be some animals around, and then of course there are shepherds, and then there are three wise men that are standing there. Here's the truth of the matter. The wise men didn't arrive for a good while. We don't even know that there were three wise men. I know, right? That just completely messes up your understanding of the Christmas story. The Bible never says that there are three. I don't know exactly when that started or when that was told. I know it said that they brought gold, frankincense, and myrrh, and so I think people just assume that each one brought one gift. So if there's three gifts, then there must have only been three wise men. But the truth is, we really do not know how many wise men were there. But in my opinion, it makes the Christmas story even more powerful, because the story of the wise men, the journey of the wise men, it took them up to 2 years to find Jesus. By the time they meet him, by the time they come to the place where he is, Jesus is about 2 years old. And I know these wise men, they are men that understand the stars. In olden times, you know, they didn't have Waze on their smartphone. They didn't have Google Maps or Apple Maps to guide them. I'm new to Metro Atlanta, so I'm still using my map. I really do pat myself on the back when I drive somewhere and I do not need a map. But I like to use maps so I know where I'm going and make sure that I'm not going to waste any time being lost. They didn't have that. They literally lived by the stars. They understood the weather by the stars. They understood time by the stars. They had so much clarity because of their understanding. And then one day they see a new star. They see a different configurement. They see a different arrangement. And it speaks a message to them. It's telling them that something big is coming. Something powerful is happening. And they put all of that together with the prophecies of old and what their forefathers told them and what the prophets have said to them. And so they began following this star. And for 2 years, they journey following this star, looking and making sure that they're staying connected, making sure that they're in alignment with, making sure that they are following the right path, because they know, they believe with all of their heart that this star is leading them to something that is going to change the world. Matthew chapter 2 today, if you want to open your Bible and follow along with me, verses 10 and 11, even on your smartphone or your Bible app or on the screen today, I want to just walk through these couple of verses because I really do believe that they are powerful and they're going to help us before we go home today. But Matthew 2 and verse 10, the Bible says that when they saw the star, when they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. And I know there's more to the verse, and I'll get to that in just a moment, but I have to celebrate this, and I have to appreciate this today, because they saw the star, and they rejoiced, because seeing the star confirmed that they were on the right path. They didn't have all of the answers. They didn't know exactly where they were going to end up. They didn't know exactly what the situation was going to look like when they arrived. But when they saw the star, just to know that they were on the right path, just to know that they were going the right direction, just to know that they were closer now than they were when they first started their journey, it was a moment to celebrate. Hear me today. I may not have all the answers, but I rejoice that I am closer now than I was a few days ago. I'm nearer now than I was a few years ago. Sometimes you just have to celebrate the progress that you've made so far in your life. Sometimes we're lamenting that we're not there yet. Sometimes we're frustrated because we haven't arrived yet. Sometimes we're mad because things have not come together to the extent that we have hoped they would come together. But sometimes you just have to pause a moment and say, you know what? I see the star. I know I'm closer right now than I was when I first started this journey, and I need to pause and give the Lord praise for all that He has done in my life. Some of you, instead of being frustrated about not being there yet, need to thank the Lord that you're not who you used to be, and you're not where you used to be, and you're not in what you used to be in, but God has already begun a good work in you. Maybe He's not finished it yet, but the Bible said that He is faithful to finish it. Is anybody thankful for what the Lord is doing in your life? You may not have it all. You may not see it all. You may not understand it all. But if you feel God's presence, then I have a reason to rejoice. If I feel God's presence, then I have a reason. I talked about His presence last week and the difference in the presence, P-R-E-S-E-N-T-S, and P-R-E-S-E-N-C-E, the difference in the presence that all of us get excited about and get giddy over. But the presence of God, the presence is so profound and it's so powerful. If I feel the presence of God, then I know it's like seeing that star. Hey, I'm in the right place and I'm on the right path and I have a reason to rejoice. Remember what David said in Psalm 119. He said, "Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. I may still be on the path. I may still have a journey to go. I may still have miles ahead of me. But if I have His Word as a lamp, if I have His presence as a light, then I'm going to celebrate the fact that I am on my way to what God has for my life. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. Because the Lord will always find a way to lead you. He'll always find a way to lead you. He'll always find a way to make sure that you have the answer that you need. He'll always make sure that you have the direction that you need in your life. You have to rest in that. You have to be confident in that. I'm facing so many things. I've got so many questions. I got a whole list of stuff that I can just scroll through because I don't know how the Lord is going to work it out or how He's going to take care of it. But listen, if I feel His presence, it signifies to me, just like it did for the wise men. Hey, it feels like we're lost. We're in unknown territory. We're in a land we've never visited before. We're in a place that we've never seen before. But the comforting fact is that I see the star. I take hope and I take comfort in the fact that I feel the presence of the Lord. I'm in a place I don't understand. I'm in uncharted territory in my life right now, but I feel the presence of the Lord, which tells me that I am where I am supposed to be, where I'm supposed to be. There are times since I've been living in Covington, there have been times in the last few weeks when I've had to say, Lord, I do not know what You are doing. I don't know how You're going to turn this, fix this, solve this, settle that. I do not know what is going on. And just as soon as I get all of those questions or all of those frustrations or all of those complaints out, suddenly the presence of the Lord will wash over me. And it gives me peace, and it gives me comfort, and it settles me, and it relaxes me to say, you know what, you may not understand it all, but I know what I'm doing in your life. Sometimes I can be in the most random places. Sometimes I'll be in the grocery store and just feel the presence of God come over me. You say, but what do you do, Pastor? Do you fall out on the floor? No. I keep picking up salsa and Oreos and keep buying deodorant and toothpaste. Just keep filling up my basket. But the Lord is a comfort to me. And the Lord is a keeper. I don't just feel Him when I come to church. I'm looking for the star everywhere I am. I'm searching for the presence of God no matter where I am. If I'm at work, if I'm in the car, if I'm on the interstate, if I'm in the grocery store, if I'm at school, no matter where I am, I'm always looking for the star because I want to know that I am where the Lord wants me to be. Just talking to you today about shopping for a star. Looking for a star, searching for a star. Where is my direction? Where is my help? Where is that light? Where is that lamp? Where is God's presence in my life to help me know that I am on the right path? So they saw the star and they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. But that wasn't all, because there's always a next step. There's always more that He wants us to do. There's always a next level and a new dimension and more to explore. I want everybody to hear me today. I want everyone to believe what you're hearing today, that whatever you have experienced so far in God, whatever has happened in your life up to this point, whatever your spiritual journey has been up until December 15th, 2019, I want you to know that there is yet something else that God is wanting to do. There is yet something more that God is wanting to do. There is yet beyond here. There is beyond now. There is more that God wants you to experience. So they saw the star and they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. And then the Bible says in verse 11 that they came into the house. And when they had come into the house, it implies the next step. It implies a willingness to commit. It implies that they were making a move. They've been following the star. They've been diligent. Where is it? Where did it go? All right, there it is. That's our star. That's the one we're looking. All right, let's follow it. They've been doing this now for 2 years. I don't know how many wise men started out. I don't know how many felt like they had to retreat or turn back or say, look, I didn't know this was going to take this long. I didn't know it was going to take this long to get to my miracle. I didn't know it was going to take this long to reach my breakthrough. I got to go. Maybe some of them turned back. I don't know. But there were a few of them that followed that star. And when they came into the house, because I got to cross over the threshold of the door to come in to the house. I got to come in so I can experience all that is happening. Can I tell you today that the Lord did not call any of us to live on the porch? He didn't call any of us to live in the front yard of His kingdom, of His church. He wants all of us to come in to the house. I can't tell you how many people I've met in my life. It really is astounding how many people I have met. When I was pastoring in Texas, people would tell me, I drove by the church today. I came by on Sunday. I was at your church last week. What do you mean you were at our church? I didn't see you. No, I never did come in. I was just out in the parking lot. I pulled up and found a parking space, but I never got out of the car. What do you mean? Why? I don't know. I'm just, you know, for whatever reason, not ready, nervous, scared, frightened, afraid of that commitment. There's just something about crossing the threshold. There's something about crossing the line of faith. There's something about making a move toward the things of God. There's something about this becoming more than just something that is distant to you, but it becomes something that you can handle, something that is tangible, something that you can wrap your arms around. Listen, in this Christmas season, I'm inviting everybody to come in to the house, because there is something that happens inside that you can't get outside. There is an experience that happens in His presence that doesn't happen anywhere else. I want to be in the house of the Lord. I want to experience everything that He has for me in the house. So they had come into the house, the Bible said, they saw the young child with Mary, his mother. When they came into the house, the first thing they testified to seeing, the first and greatest experience they have, is that they saw Jesus. Oh Lord. They come into the house and they see Jesus immediately. You know why? Because He's the most important person in the house. He's the most important thing happening in the house. There's nothing else that matters. I'm coming to see Jesus. I love everything that happens in this house. I love it from beginning to end. I appreciate everything that goes on. But hear me, I came ultimately for one reason today, and that was to have my time with Jesus. I want to have my moment in the presence of the Lord. I want to receive everything that He has for me. I want to give everything that He's given me to give. I want to serve. But listen, I know that this house is all about Jesus. I want to experience Jesus in this house. And when people come into this house, we want them to be comfortable. We want them to feel at home. We want them to have a cafe that has their favorite drink. We want there to be a safe kids' environment for their children. We want there to be warm lighting. We want there to be clear screens. In Jesus' name, just a few more weeks. But first, And most important, we want them to see Jesus. We want them to experience Jesus. We're not trying to create a cool church that replaces the presence of God. We're not trying to manipulate emotionally people and trick them into making them think that our good beat was the presence of the Lord. No. We could play any kind of song and it would make us move a hip or bounce a big toe. We could do all kind of things that would get you moving today, but we want what moves you to be the touch of Jesus and the presence of the Lord in this house. And you say, well, Pastor Darrell, I came today, but the first person I saw was a greeter standing at the door. The first person I saw was someone attending the cafe. The first person I saw was someone greeting in the parking lot. That was the first person I saw. But hear me, if we get the greeter and the cafe attendant and the parking lot greeter, if we get everybody full of Jesus, then the first person you saw was Jesus. If we get everybody with a Jesus smile on their face, then the first thing you experienced was the love of the Lord through me and through him and through her and through all of them. We want this entire campus to be touched by the power of the Holy Spirit. And everywhere you turn, man, I don't know what's going on at that church, but all them people are happy about something. Let us tell you what we're happy about. We're happy about all that God has done in our lives. Is anybody happy today? I know you got stuff going on. I know you got junk you're carrying. I know you've got sickness in your family and trouble in your business. But hear me, I was glad when they said to me, let us go to the house. Not because everything's perfect. No, sometimes I'm dragging my baggage. Sometimes I'm bringing my broken business. Sometimes I'm coming while family's at the hospital. Sometimes I'm not feeling great in my body. But here I am. I was glad when I could come into the house and see Jesus. They came in and they saw the young child with Mary, his mother. And the Bible said that they fell down. They fell down and worshiped him. They fell down. They fell down and they worshiped him. You know why? Because seeing Jesus always demands a response. I can't really see Jesus. Hear me. I can't really see Jesus and leave the way I arrived. I can't really experience the Lord and leave the same way that I came. You say, oh, Pastor Dale, I've been doing that for years. Then something's wrong. Something's wrong. Something wrong with us or you, I don't know which. But we got to fix that. Because when I really get in the presence of the Lord, when I really give myself to worship, when I really give myself to hearing and understanding and receiving all that the Lord has for me, it commands a response in me. And the Bible said that they fell down and worshiped. He puts them as two separate events, two separate responses. They fell down. Something about that denotes humility to me. It communicates a breaking down of my will and my way. Somehow they came in bold. Man, look at us. We followed that. It took us 2 years, but we didn't take one wrong turn. And here we are. But as soon as they saw Jesus, there was something in them that caused them to get down low. There was something in them that said, hey, it's not about my will. It's about your will. It's not about what I want. It's about what he once. Oh God, I pray that he would show himself so strong that it wouldn't be about what I want anymore, and it wouldn't be about what you want. It wouldn't be about me strong-arming the Lord in my life to tell him, you got to do this way and move that way. No, I would just fall down and say, Lord, whatever you will in my life, whatever you want in my life, I am submitted to you. I am humble before you. I am contrite before you. All you have is my yes, and there is no no in me. He fell down and they worshiped, because it's hard to worship without humility. It's hard to worship without breaking. It's hard to worship when you're still fighting the one who deserves the praise in your life. Whoo, Lord, have mercy. It's hard to truly worship when you think every good and perfect gift comes from you. No. Everything I have is because of God. Everything I know is because of him. Everything I've experienced is because of him. It didn't come from me. My righteousness is as filthy rags. I'm just a mess in the presence of the Lord, but let me get in the presence of the Lord. He fell down and worshiped him. And I'm going to tell you today, as unpopular as it may be, you and I do not get to choose how much of our life we will give to Jesus. It's all or nothing. As unpopular as it may seem, we don't get to choose how much of this Bible we're going to accept. It's all or nothing. We have this disease in our culture right now that says, well, you know, I get to decide. I get to choose how much of me I'm going to give to Jesus. I get to decide how I'm going to respond to the Lord. And you do have a free will. You do get to decide what you are going to do. But you keep thinking, I sometimes think, hey, I can do this on, you know, 30% of me. I'm going to give him just part of me. I'm going to give him just half of me. And the Lord says, no, that's not the way this works. If you fall down and worship him, if you really worship him, you don't want to hold anything back. You don't want to keep back anything from him. You want him to have it all. So the Bible said that they came into the house, they saw the young child with Mary, his mother, and fell down and worshiped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented gifts to him: gold, frankincense, and myrrh. They're in the presence of the Lord. You've been following this story. They've been traveling for 2 years, following a star. The star finally stops over this house, and they walk into this house, and they see the one whom they've been searching for. They see him. They fall down and worship. And then they say, you know what? We have to give something to him. And the Bible said they opened their treasures and they presented gifts, gave an offering of gold and frankincense and myrrh. All of those three things are significant, and I've taught on them before, and maybe I'll do that sometime. All of those things are significant. All of them are powerful in and of themselves. But these wise men, what I want you to see is that they came prepared. They came ready. They came knowing something was going to be asked of them, something was going to be required of them, and they gave, because something happens in the presence of the Lord that doesn't happen anywhere else, and it's good. You go to work every day, but man, there's always some part of you that's holding back. I wonder if I can work just enough today to make sure everybody that needs to see me working hard sees me working hard. But I wonder if today somehow I can kind of slough off. I wonder if somehow today I can just hold back part of me. I wonder if today I can just keep back part. But no, when I get in the presence of the Lord, something happens and it's good. Worship opens us to the fullness of God. It empowers us and gives us the ability to do what we could have never done on our own. It's like getting in the presence of the Lord is your superpower. You get in God's presence and suddenly you're not as shy as you normally are. Suddenly this faith comes over you. Suddenly this belief comes over you. Suddenly this zeal, this boldness comes over. What just happened to me? I'm in the presence of the Lord. He's allowing me to do things that I would never do normally on my own. He's enabling me. He's empowering me. He's given me the strength that I need. And these men begin to give. They begin to give. The wise men, they're believed to be wealthy men. I honestly do not know. Obviously, a two-year journey, all of that is significant. And no doubt it took money for them to do all that they were doing. Maybe they were wealthy men. I don't know. That doesn't mean that only the wealthy are asked to give. Everyone is asked to do what they can do. And these men open the door, because from here on, everyone that comes into the presence of Jesus, they start giving themselves. They start giving their hearts. They start giving from their treasure. They start bringing gifts to Him. Because there's something about experiencing Jesus that makes me want to do something I've never done before. They came prepared to give because His presence and His goodness demands sacrifice. I feel God in this room today. Let me ask you something. Are you just window shopping today? Are you shopping for the real, something you can hold in your hand today, experience in your life? I've been to New York City during the holidays, and it really is amazing when you walk down Fifth Avenue, some of the most expensive stores, and they see me come through the door, and they don't even ask me if they can help me. They know he don't have money to buy anything in here. But at Christmas time, they're famous for the windows that they prepare. They're over the top. Unbelievable. Most elaborate Christmas decorations you've ever seen. Beautiful, incredible. And it's easy to just walk up and down the road and just go from window to window. Just go from window to window. Wow, this man, wow. Look at that. Look at that. Look at the window. The window's not that big. The window is not that big. What's amazing to me is that there is an entire store on the other side of that window. There's much more beauty on the other side of the picture that you're looking at. But in order to experience that, you have to leave the sidewalk and come into the store. You may see something in the window and say, I want that. I want that. I got to have that. I don't care what it cost. I may have to sell my child, but I want that. But no matter how many times you stand on the sidewalk and say, come on, I want that. Give me. Got a credit card. Got cash. You're not going to experience it out on the sidewalk. You got to come in. So I ask you today, are you window shopping? Have you seen the picture of what is possible? Have you heard testimony of what could be, of what's happened to someone else? And you just kind of come by each Sunday and stay at a distance and just peer in every now and then. Just look back there. Looks nice, but I don't know if I'm ready to embrace all of that. I am challenging you this Christmas season. Come in. Come in. Experience everything that the Lord has for you to experience. We've spent much of 2019 calling our church to commitment. We started January this year talking about 365. We want to live this every day, everywhere we go. It's not just a Sunday thing, but we want to live this all year long. I don't want to just do a drive-by, a walk-by, occasionally looking in. I want to come into the house, and I want to experience Jesus. So we've been talking about commitment to the Lord and commitment to our church. The Lord is not going to fail you. Our church is not perfect, but I love what God is doing in this house. I'm excited about where we're going. I'm excited about 2020. I'm excited about all that God is up to. But we need you. We need you to make that commitment. So today, our final act of worship is going to be an opportunity to give to our church one time a year, doing something above the tithe. We're going to do something. We're going to bring a sacrifice. I've prayed and believed and hoped that there would be 100% participation. Everybody doing something. Say, Pastor Darrell, I'm in a weird season, or I'm out of this or that, and I understand. But do something. Reach in your pocket and find lint. You say, Pastor Darrell, don't make fun. That's all I got. No, I'm not making fun. I would not leave until I gave something that belongs to me that I can give in the presence of God. Whatever it is. Whatever it is. And I promise you that God will bless it. Father, I thank you today for people, hearts, and lives in this room. Because while we're going to give an offering in just a few minutes, and it's going to be powerful and special, and you're going to do so many good things with it, and we're excited about all of that. There are people in this room today that have their heart to give. People that have their mind to give. People that can only yield their spirit. If I'm in this house today, then I know that today was it was for me. Today was my day. Because you've been talking to me for 2 years, or you've been talking to me for 6 months, or you've been interrupting my sleep for the last few weeks, and now here I am in your presence. And you're saying, come on. Give your life to me. If you're in this room with heads bowed and eyes closed, if you're in this room and that is your heart, that is your life, that is where you are, I feel like you can't wait until January of a new year. Today is the day of salvation in your life. Today is the day that you've got to make a decision for Jesus. The decision. Make the choice. Say yes. How do I do that? You can pray with me right now. Romans 10 says, if you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart. Let's confess it together. Say, Jesus, I want you to save me. I want you to take my sin. I want you to take my shame. I want you to take my guilt. I want you to set me free. This Christmas, the greatest gift I could receive is you, Lord. So today I receive the gift. I accept the gift. and my life is forever changed. In Jesus' name.